Let's have a silent prayer. We prepare our hearts for today's service. Amen. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we begin our Sabbath service. Let us arise to sing hymn number 277. Jesus Christ, that on this Sabbath day we are able to gather together to worship Him. We pray to our Lord Jesus Christ to guide us in our service today. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we kneel down and pray. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Hallelujah. We praise and glory to our Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I speak. For today's service, we will use this topic, the jailer received salvation, for our mutual encouragement. The last time, we have shared concerning the incident in the prison in Philippi, how Paul and Silas were in prison, and at midnight, they were praying and praising the Lord. The prisoners were giving attention to the prayer and the praises of Paul and Silas. Suddenly, there was an earthquake, and the foundation was shaken. The prison doors were opened, and their shackles unfastened. After this incident, we come to Acts chapter 16, verses 27 to 33. Acts chapter 16, verses 27 to 33. Here it tells us, when the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Verse 32, "And they spake the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them in the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and his family." After the earthquake and the foundation were shaken, this jailer, who was asleep outside the prison, he woke up. It is because of this earthquake that occurs and the shaking of the ground under his feet that this jailer woke up. We say that it is the Lord who wakes up the people from their slumber. Otherwise, they will continue in their slumber, in total disregard of what is happening in the prison. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 14 tells us, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So here it tells us that we must arise and Christ will shine upon us. We must not always be in slumber. When we are in slumber, we do not know of the grace of the Lord God, of what is happening inside the prison. It is only when the jailer was awake, then only he realized that the door of this prison was open. What did he see? Acts chapter 16, verse 26, it tells us, verse 27, "When the jailer woke and saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and wanted to kill himself." So here it tells us that the jailer, after he awoke, the first thing that he saw is that the prison doors were open. He supposed that these prisoners must have escaped. He has failed in his duty as a guard to prevent the prisoners from escaping. He lost all hope. He wanted to kill himself. In verse 23, the magistrates have already told him to keep them safely in the prison, that these prisoners do not escape. As a prison guard, he should not be asleep, but be watchful over these prisoners, so that they do not escape. But this is the guard's responsibility. If they fail in this responsibility, if the prisoners were to escape, then this guard will have to face punishment. Not too long ago, in Acts chapter 12, it talks about the incident where Peter was also put into prison. And at night, an angel of the Lord took Peter out of the prison. Verse 19 says, "And after Herod searched for him and did not find him, he examined the sentries and ordered them that they should be put to death. These soldiers were supposed to guard Peter, but because Peter had escaped, or an angel of the Lord took him out of the prison, the soldiers who were entrusted with this duty to guard Peter, they were put to death. So in this incident in Philippi, the jailer is also entrusted with this responsibility to keep Paul and Silas in prison. Now that the prison doors were open, and in his assumption that the prisoners had escaped, or probably he had to suffer the same fate like these guards who were guarding Peter. His future is filled with darkness. There is no hope. Probably he will be killed for allowing the prisoners to escape. So in his fright, he drew out the sword. He wanted to kill himself. In verse 28, it tells us, "But Paul cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all here.'" In the midst of this hopelessness, the jailer heard the voice of Paul telling him not to harm himself, for we are all here. The call for the jailer not to harm himself came with the assurance that these prisoners did not escape. They are all here. Although the door of the prison was open, but there is no attempt by the prisoners to escape from the prison. Probably they were so engrossed with the prayers and praises of Paul and Silas. Or probably they marvel at the work of the Lord God. The earthquake, the shaking of the foundation, or the opening, the self-opening of the door, and the falling apart of the shackles. This is something that the prisoners are marveling at. They have no intention to escape from this prison. This jailer is working for those who oppose the gospel. He was the one who is supposed to keep guard on Paul and Silas to confine them in the prison. Now that he feared that the prisoners has escaped, he feared of the impending punishment. Many people will think this is only worthy or rightful for him to feel it this way because he have opposed the Lord God. This is what many people in this world think. Once our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to travel to Jerusalem, in Luke chapter 9, it tells us that at that time, our Lord Jesus Christ wanted to go to Jerusalem. He had to pass through a certain village of the Samaritans. So he has sent messengers ahead of him to enter into this village of the Samaritans to prepare the way for him. But the people there did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said to our Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven to consume them?" But our Lord Jesus Christ turned to them and rebuked them. Even these disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, they felt that these people who opposed to the Lord, it is only worthy for them to call fire to come down from heaven to consume them. But instead, our Lord Jesus Christ rebuked them for considering this vengeance upon the people who do not accept that. But this type of behavior, of vengeance against those who oppose us, this kind of behavior belongs to the people of the world. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 says that this is the behavior of the people of the world. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, this is the behavior of the people of the world. They feel that it is only right that we love the people who are our neighbor, but to hate those who are enemies. But to us who believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 39, it says, but I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. And verse 44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Verse 45 says, so that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven. Verse 48 says, you therefore must be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. So here it tells us that this kind of vengeance against those who oppose us is not the behavior of one who believes in the Lord God. To us who believe in the Lord God, we must be able to show forth love towards our enemies. Although these are the people who have done evil against us, but we must continue to love them, just like our Heavenly Father who have loved us. While we are yet a sinner, He came to die for us. He called us, He showed us mercy, and He gave us grace. In the same way, we must also be able to show mercy and grace to others. Though the jailer had confined Paul and Silas in the prison, but these preachers of the gospel, they brought grace to him, telling him not to kill himself. This is the purpose of our calling. Just like Paul, when he talks about his calling by the Lord God, in Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it says, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is the calling of the Lord God. For us, the workers of God, to turn the people from darkness to light. Why do the people do not believe? It is because they do not have the knowledge of the Lord God. Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14 tells us. The people do not call upon the name of the Lord God. It's because they do not believe. They do not believe. It's because they have not heard. They have not heard because no one came to preach to them. We are these people who are called by the Lord God. to enlighten them of the grace of the Lord, to preach the good news of the gospel to them. It is our responsibility to bring this gospel of salvation to the people of the world so that they are able to know Christ, so that they can believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we go back to Acts chapter 16. Verse 29 tells us, "And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas." So here it tells us, the jailer, after hearing the voice of Paul, he quickly rushed in. He called for a light. Because when this incident happened, it was in darkness. Everything had happened in darkness. In darkness, one is not able to see properly. In darkness, we are not able to see the way that is ahead of us. The first thing that this jailer asks for is for the light, so that he will be able to see properly. In John chapter 11, verse 10 tells us, verse 10 says, "If anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not with him." In verse 9 says, "If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world." But when we are in darkness, we may stumble because we are not able to see the path that is ahead of us. But if we walk in the light, we are guided by the light. We will not stumble and fall. And now that this jailer has the light, he is able to see clearly the path that is ahead of him. He realized that these people, Paul and Silas, they are the servants of God. This they know because of the incident that happened, because of the miracle of the earthquake, the shaking of the ground, the prison door opens, and their shackles drop. This is not something that man is able to do. They are able to see the work of the Lord God in what is happening. In John chapter 3, verse 2, John chapter 3, it tells us of a person by the name of Nicodemus. He came to our Lord Jesus Christ at night, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is." So this Nicodemus, he is able to recognize that God is with our Lord Jesus. It's because he saw or he hear of the signs that is performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Just like this incident, when the jailer saw the miracles that happened in the prison, he is able to recognize that Paul and Silas, they are the servants. They have the abidance of the Lord God with them. They are also able to see the grace of God through the hands of Paul. Because he has opposed the work of the Lord God, it is fitting for him to die. He has persecuted the servants of God. But instead, Paul called out, asking him not to kill himself. Through these words of Paul, he is able to be saved. These servants of God spoke the words of grace to them, words of comfort, words that lead the people to repentance. But this is what we must be able to do. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 tells us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 tells us. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good works and glorify God on the day of visitation. So here it tells us that our conduct before the people must be honorable. Although these people do not know Christ, as a result of which they speak evil of us. But then through the works of our hands, through the grace that they are able to see, they are able to recognize the Lord God. They are able to give glory to the Lord God. But this is something that Paul is able to understand very well. Just like this jailer, Paul also once persecuted those who believe in Christ. But when the Lord God appeared to him, it changed his life. He came to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. He became a servant of God to bring the gospel of Christ to the people of the world. We go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Verse 30 onwards, it tells us that when the jailer brought them up, the jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? After experiencing this grace of the Lord God, after seeing the work of the Lord God, the first question that the jailer asked Paul and Silas is, what must I do to be saved? This same question is also asked by the people who are touched by the sermon preached by Peter in Acts chapter 2, verse 37. They also ask, what must I do to be saved? Paul himself, when the Lord God appeared to him in a blinding light, he also asked these two questions. Who art thou, Lord? When he know that our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord God, he then answered, what must I do? The first thing a man who is awakened by God to consider is how he is going to come into the right relationship with the Lord God. To ask how he can be saved, how his sins can be forgiven, how he can be taken back in favor with the living God. Those who saw this grace of God, who have experienced the mercy of the Lord God, they wanted to continue to draw near to the Lord God. In Acts chapter 16, from verse 31. Paul and Silas told him, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. For those who seek salvation, they must be directed to the Savior, in whom they can. The Lord God loved man. Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 11 tells us. Verse 11 tells us. As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked will turn from his ways and live. Turn back from your evil ways, For why would you die, O house of Israel? The desire of the Lord God is that all men, even those who have sinned against Him, that they may turn from their evil ways, that they will be able to return to the Lord God and live. That's why our Lord Jesus Christ sent His Son into this world, so that those who believe in Him will not perish, but will have eternal life. This is what the Lord God wants of mankind in this world, that they are able to believe in Him and to have eternal life. Oh, so here it also tells us that this salvation is extended to the family members. So that's why Paul says that you and your household will be saved. Salvation is not only to us who have experienced this grace of the Lord God, but it is extended to our household. When our Lord Jesus Christ went to Zacchaeus' house, He says, today salvation has come to this house, to everyone of this house. It is our responsibility, who have experienced the grace of the Lord God, who have seen the works of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be able to share this grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with our household, so that they will also come to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, Joshua declared of his faith. But he also, at the same time, include his household in this decision that he made. In the last part of verse 15, he says, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made the decision for himself and his family. He has seen the grace of the Lord. He has followed the law. He has received the blessings of the law. But these blessings of the law is not for him alone. He wanted his family to walk in the same path that he walked, so that they will also receive the blessings of the Lord God in their life. We go back to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, from verse 32 and 33, it tells us all. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house, and they took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and his family. So here it tells us all. Paul and Silas then spoke the word of God to him and all who were in his household. One may have experienced miracles. Through these miracles, we are able to know the Lord God. But the foundation of our faith is built on the word of the Lord God. That's why when our Lord Jesus Christ tells his disciples to go and preach the gospel in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 19. It tells them to go and make disciples of all nations. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. So when we go forth to preach the gospel of Christ, we must also be able to teach the people to observe all that the Lord God has commanded us. They must be able to build their faith in the law of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 tells us, faith is through hearing, and hearing through the word of the law of God. It is through the word of the law of God that we are able to build the foundation of our faith. The disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ are one that will abide in this word of the law of God. And this word of the law of God, the truth will set them free. So here it tells us, Paul and Silas proceed to instruct him and his family in the doctrine of Christ. It is not enough that the jailer understand the word of the law. His family, his children, must also know their faith. If they do not know their faith, if they believe in the Lord God, it's only because of the jailer's understanding of his faith. Then one day, they may also fall. It is our responsibility to bring this word of the Lord God, the understanding of our faith, to our children. That's why in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18 onwards, he tells us, you shall therefore lay up these words in your heart, in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19 says, you must teach them to your children, talk to them when they are sitting in your house, when they are walking by the way, when they lie down, when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house, on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers and give you as long as the heavens are above the earth. So here it tells us that when we receive the word of the Lord God in our heart, we must also teach them to our children, so that they are also able to understand the way of the Lord God. Here also tells us of what we are doing today. That's why before the baptism of a person, we also conduct the pre-baptism class, so that these new believers will be able to understand the faith that they are following, that they are able to keep their faith until the very end. And here it tells us, at the end of all this, the jailer and his household were baptized. His belief in the Lord God must end with baptism. It is in baptism that we who are once strangers will now come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 tells us, at one time, we do not know the Lord God. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It is through baptism that today we are one in this body of Christ. We have received this hope. We thank the grace of the Lord God. Today, we use this incident of the jailer receiving the grace of salvation for our mutual encouragement. We now sing another hymn. Shall we all arise to sing hymn 283. Hymn 283. We will now have a prayer. In our prayer, we thank our Lord Jesus Christ for his guidance in our service today. We continue to pray to our Lord Jesus Christ to continue to guide us in our evangelical work in the church, that we will be the lights of the world. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, let us do that prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. By the name, the grace of Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Hallelujah. Our service ends here. All glory to our Lord Jesus Christ.